Blog Talk Radio.
We never spend time talking to you, so we figured we'd lay it on you, let you know how we feel about love.
Paint a pretty smile each day. Loving is a blessing, yeah. Never let it fade away. It's all about love, yeah. Feel yourself a true romance. Beauty that's around you, yeah. You deserve just one more chance, my dear, my dear. Let the light shine all through your mind. Fill your little heart aglow. Take the time, make up your mind. It's all about love, yeah. Talking to yourself is fine. Makes you feel much better. Know just where to draw the line. Girl, my dear, girl, my dear, oh, God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abiyah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. I ask you, Abba, to forgive me for all my sins. I ask you, Abba, to give ear to my prayer. Thank you for the breath of life once again, Abba. Thank you for allowing us to see another Shabbat. Thank you for protecting us, leading us and guiding us throughout the week, Abba. For giving us strength to overcome any obstacles. Overcome any obstacles that we had during the week, giving us wisdom to overcome and solve any problems we had during the week, Abba. And we just ask through your son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Abba, that you carry our burdens that we may have today, that you relieve us and give us rest, Abba. Abba, we ask that you open up your word to us, Abba, and that you reveal yourself to us. We thank you, Abba, for continuing to heal us mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, Abba. Thank you for allowing us to have this time with you, Abba, that you set apart for us, Abba, that we are constantly on your mind, constantly in your thoughts, Abba, and constantly the recipients of your affection. Abba, we ask that you continue to watch over poor, watch over the homeless, the people who are struggling in this world, Abba. Show them the beauty of this world, Abba. Show them the beauty of you. Abba, we ask that you just continue to lead us and guide us in your word, continue to turn us into the sons and daughters that you so desire, and that you continue to reveal your word unto us. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servants, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. Shabbat Shalom. This is your brother, Deuel. And magnify the Torah, make it honorable. And today we'll be talking about the darkening of the soul. We were in class the other class Wednesday, and we came across a passage, something that we were, it related to the things that we were learning in class. But we came across a passage that Mashiach himself spoke, and it related to, Abba, once he wants you to talk about something, he'll make it plain to you. So this is something that he put on my mind and my heart. And before we get into that, I'm sorry, y'all. I hope everybody had a great week. And if you didn't, it's the Shabbat. Lay y'all burdens down. That's y'all friendly reminder. And I think, we need that reminder. We need that reminder. Because we don't want to get caught up in this world. We don't want this world to overtake us, overcome us, and everything. Can somebody hit me and let me know that I sound okay. If they didn't already. Yeah, we're going to be talking about something Mashiach said. And it comes from the book of Matthew, or Matityahu, chapter 6, verses 19 through 23. Matityahu, or Matthew, chapter 6, verses 19. Okay, Toda King. Matityahu chapter 6, starting at verse 19. And it reads, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. For yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, this verse 22 is what we're going to be focusing on today. Verse 22 and 23. It says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine light, or your light, be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness?" So, it just so happens that when we were going through this, we were talking about a word in the word in the Torah that was translated as the word teach. And it was talking about the movement of the eye, or the eye continues. The parent root of it was the ayin and the dalet. The ayin being the eye itself, the dalet being the door, which symbolizes movement. And it's talking about perception, you know, things you see, you know. You move your eye around. This is something that we talked about before. This is one of the main ways that we get information, right? So the information that we get from our eye, according to Yahushua, it says it has a direct connection to our soul. In other words, what we see affects us, right? So let's talk about that, because again, verse 23, if your eye be evil, if you have an evil eye, then your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? So if all you look for or see is evil, then your whole body is going to be corrupt. And the more corruptness that you see, you get more and more corrupt by the things that you see, right? But it's a reason for that, right? So let's look at a couple scriptures. All right. First scripture we're going to go to is Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Bereshit, or Genesis, Bereshit, Genesis chapter 3, and go 1 through 10, right? And we all familiar with this story, and we all know the connotations, but you know, let's just look at this. It says, Bereshit chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath Elohim said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And this is something that we talked about first, talked about for a while. The whole point of this dialogue is for the serpent to change Eve's perception about what God said. Right? But Abba showed me something a little more, and something that I really didn't pay attention to. But again, we've been read these things over and over again, but until Abba unlocks your mind, or until he unlocks your mind or brings it back to your memory, you miss things. Right? So he says, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. But Elohim doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, and we learn what those things point to. Right? Hedonism, intellectualism, and I forgot the last ism. Fulfilling of oneself. The fulfilling of this flesh. Right? It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Materialism. Toda, toda, toda. See? That's why you have brothers. That's why you have brothers. All right? Hedonism, materialism, intellectualism. These are the three things that happened within this woman at this time. She saw that the fruit was good for food, so she desired it. First, she didn't want to eat it. Now, she want to. Now it's do what you want to do. Do what thou will. Right? Materialism is I'm going to acquire this thing for myself. And intellectualism is her reasoning for it. Well, God don't want me to be like him. I can be like God, and he don't want me to be like him. So she intellectual, she used her brain power to come up with this thing, to devour Abba. All right? But that was the whole point of the serpent and while he goes into these things, y'all. All right? Verse 6 again. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, remember, it's talking about what she saw with her eyes. Right? It's this verse. What she saw that the tree was, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Right? All this is going on based on her looking at that tree. right? The information is now different that she's received, all right? Verse 7, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves, together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of Yahweh Elohim walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of Yahweh Elohim amongst the trees of the garden. And Yahweh Elohim called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So he ate, his eyes is open. So now, because he ate of that tree, gained the knowledge of good and evil, starting to gain the knowledge of good and evil. But because of that, he's now afraid of Yahweh. He's now looking at Abba in a whole different manner. Because up to this point, Abba came to him and he was never afraid. Adam, here, name these animals. He wasn't fearing Abba then. Adam tilled this garden. He wasn't fearing Abba then. The word doesn't talk about him fearing Abba, but now he's seeing Abba in a whole new light. His eyes have changed. His perception has changed. The information that he's gathering with what he sees is changing now. And what happens? His light is starting to darken. His being is starting to darken. Right? Next verse. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21. Well, Jeremiah, and this is something that Abba was talking about Israel. This is something that he acts, right? He says, yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Now, take into account what we just read. When he made Adam, right, it said that he was made in the image and the likeness of the Most High, right? But then the information got switched, and now Adam is like a stranger to the Most High. He's afraid of him, the Most High, and at this time he's talking about Israel. But it's the same way with Israel, but you go back to the beginnings. The same way that Adam became like a stranger to the whole side, so did Israel, because Israel kept on transgressing his law. I gave you a good thing, but y'all keep on, I planted you in good ground, and look what you did with it. Look at me, look at all the stuff I did for you throughout the years. Right? But Israel wasn't paying attention. Their eyes was on something else. Their eyes was on Abba brought all this stuff to what? Okay, I took you out of Egypt. But all you can think about is cucumbers and leeks. You ain't thinking about the bondage that you were just freed from. All you know is that you miss the cucumbers and the leeks, because ain't no cucumbers and leeks out on that walk y'all on. All you know is that, oh, wasn't enough graves in Egypt? You brought us out here that we're going to starve to death or be thirsty. We're going to die of thirst. Didn't we tell you to leave us alone when you came? Didn't we tell you we like being slaves? Don't free us. So fickle. Israel is just so fickle. You cry out to Abba about your bondage. Then you get free. Then you cry that you want to be back in slavery. Fickle. Talks about his people. He said, I planted thee a noble vine, holy, a right seed. How then art thou turned into a degenerate plant of a strange vine to me? Next verse. Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 4 through 6. Jeremiah verses 4 through 6. He says, moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith Yahweh, shall they fall and not arise? Shall ye turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not right. No man repenteth him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turneth to his course as the horse rushes into battle. Okay. I was asking the question. If a man falls down, is he just going to stay on the ground or is he going to get back up and try again? Right? He said, if a man is, you're going the wrong direction, right? You're trying to get to a destination. You're going the wrong direction. Aren't you going to turn around and come back home? He said, not Israel, not the people of Jerusalem. He said, they just keep going backwards perpetually. Perpetually means forever. They don't stop going backwards. Backslider. They just keep on going back and back and back. Everybody holds on to their lives. Hold fast to their deceit. Holding on to their lives. Why? Why are they doing that? Their soul is darkened. And a lot of that has to do with what they see. Why is it that people broadcast? You only broadcast. You got the media. You only broadcast these evil things that people do. We hear about all the murders. We hear about all the killings, all the robbings, all the robberies and all the evils of this world, all the atrocities of this world. We hear about the corrupt government, the government's corruption, and this, that, and another. What do you think, what effect do you think that has on our being? To keep on getting bombarded by all this negativity. Then something happens in our lives, right? And you got all this negativity going on in the media that you're bombarded with. All the music is negative. Everything that you is just negativity. And now you have a depressed, anxious people. Everybody's depressed. Everybody's anxious. Opened up ways for these spirits to get in. They then found the chinks in the armor because of what we see. they can stop homelessness. Nobody has to be homeless. Nobody has to be hungry. But they have them in strategic places. So you set up a homeless spot underneath a bridge on a major throughway, one of the major streets going east and west here in Baltimore City. And you ride by the camp, you ride by the homeless camps, and you see that. But it don't have to be that way. They can take some of these abandoned homes. Just you don't have to take all of the abandoned homes. Just take some of the abandoned homes, turn them into shelters. No, but the people, Hasatan wants to keep your eyes filled with negativity. He wants to keep your head filled with negativity, all these negative things. So all they do is broadcast about wars and famines coming and this, that, and another, where you are on a negative overload. And we don't understand, even though Yahushua has warned us, by taking in all these things, it is doing something to us internally. It is affecting us. Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. Hosea or Hoshea, chapter 4, verses 1 through 14. Right? And it reads, "Hear the word of Yahweh, you children of Israel. For Yahweh has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of Elohim in the land." Why isn't there any truth? Why isn't there any mercy? Why isn't there any knowledge of Elohim in the land? Why? We're not teaching that. It's not being taught in the land. We have learned the ways of our oppressors, and our oppressors' ways are not the ways of the Most High. Our oppressors don't show mercy, and we learned not to show mercy very well. Our oppressors don't worry about the truth. Whatever sounds good, it's not the truth, it's your truth. So people don't live in the truth, they live their truth, whatever's true to them. So Abba has a beef with Israel. Because we fall into, we're not supposed to be doing that. But we didn't observe it so long that it became a part of us. We didn't took it in. Growing up, I loved the mob movies. I loved the casinos and the Goodfellas, Reservoir Dogs. I loved those type of movies. Scarface, classics we call them. Very good movies. Donnie Brasco, et cetera, et cetera. But observing those movies had an effect. I would say we supposed to tell when people are doing wrong. But the mob say, you better not snitch. So guess what? In Baltimore, we had the whole thing, stop snitching. These people are doing justice. They're doing right. But you had the whole thing, snitches get stitches. There's always a stitch or something like that, as long as it ain't in regards to you. Because once it's in regards to you, hey, man, you out there looking for somebody, hey, man, y'all seeing this person, that person, you wanting them to tell. Because you want revenge. You want them to snitch. Snitch then. Now it's okay to snitch. Excuse me, family. First one again. It says, hear the word of Yahweh, you children of Israel. For Yahweh have a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of Elohim in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out. And blood touches blood. That's how much blood is going on in the streets. Blood is just overrunning in the streets. Look at it. Double murders, triple murders, triple shootings. They had a party out Cherry Hill not that long ago, like 5 or 6, maybe 10 people got shot. 1 or 2 people might have died or whatever. Blood touching blood. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Verse 3, it says, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another. For thy people are as they that strive with the priests. Yeah, You got all this stuff going on. Don't nobody want to correct themselves. Boy, I like those who strive with the priests. You're supposed to seek the law at the priest's lips. But you want to go back and forth with them. You want to tell the priest what Abba said. And the word clearly says that he is the messenger of Elohim. He's supposed to tell you what Abba said. But you want to tell the priest what Abba said. Now let me justify that and clarify that. There's nothing the matter with asking questions. There's nothing the matter with, okay, and you talking, you saying, okay, the words say this. The word, there's nothing the matter with that. To get clarity. Nothing the matter with that. Okay? But if you think for 1 second that you are going to go to a priest of the Most High and in your arrogance say, well, it means this and that's it, and this is what the words say, and that, no, it don't work that way. Now you are striving, you are contending, you're fighting the priest. All right? You're going to blows with the priest, and you're not supposed to do that. And you know, it's a way you go about things. And you're supposed, if you're looking for clarity, there's no problem with that. Ask all the questions you want. Because as a priest, one of your jobs is to edify the people. It's to build them up and to teach. Again, it's a certain way that people have to come to the priest. Don't come in that arrogance. That's not right. Okay, so he says, let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priests. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy my mother. And look, because you don't want to correct, right? And sometimes chastisement comes with that correction. Correction is in itself a form of chastisement, a form of discipline. Whether you know, people think about chastising, they think about spanking the butt. No, just the correction. Hold up, son, you're wrong. That's chastisement. And you're going to do that because you love that person. You don't want them going down the wrong path. Right? But he says, because nobody is correcting them, everybody going to fall. People going to fall because they don't know Abba's word. The prophet's going to fall because they ain't giving Abba's word out. It says, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. Seeing you have forgotten the law of your mighty one, I will also forget your children. You know, now he's getting real specific, talking about those people who hold the word of the Most High. Right? But as a priest, you know, your job is to dispense this word. You don't hold it hostage. I've shown you these things to help others, to help you and others. The law at the priest's lip. So when they come looking for these right rulings and advice and whatever, be ready to give it to them. Verse 7, he says, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, talking about the priests, and they set their heart on their iniquity. Why? The priests are not correcting the people. At that time, they weren't correcting the people. Right now, they still ain't correcting the people. Because now it's about tithes and offerings. Clearly, look, man, look. You can't, and you know, it's so, a lot of these folks will be quote-unquote canceled now for saying things for speaking the truth. Look, bro, you got to stop that homosexuality. You got to stop it. Abba don't accept that. See, but if he say that and he got a church full of homosexuals, his pay falls. So he don't want to say that. Look, all that transgendering, you know, you were born a man, you're not supposed to do that. Stop it. Change. Back. Change back. Shub. Return to who you were. But if he say that, no, I'm going to go to a church that understands me. His pay goes down. See, now he can't live that nice life. He got to drive a Camry. He can't drive a Bentley. He got to have a regular car. He got to get suits off the rack. He can't have tailor-made suits. He got to get the suits off the rack. And the such. So they refuse and say they eat their sin up. Their sin becomes a part of them. They good with it. So I'm going to tell you what Jesus said about homosexuality, and then he quiet. Like the Messiah just accepts it. No, he don't. We done been through that. He knows it's a sickness, and he knows that he cured every homosexual person of that sickness when he walked this earth. Those who wanted to be cured. Those who came in contact, that spirit jumped off of them. So he says, as they were increased, verse 7 again, as they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. They want to hear this stuff. It's gossip. They set their heart on their iniquity. Verse 9, he says, and there shall be like people, like priests. See? Because the people watch the priests. He says, and there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. But they shall eat and have not enough. They shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall increase. Because they have left off to take heed of Yahweh, to take heed to God. They don't listen to Abba no more. Why? Because TV Jakes said, and he good with it. I watched him on TV. I heard what Bishop Jakes said, and I heard what Bishop this person said, and Creflo Dollar said, and this person, they said it was cool. And they got to be right because they got all these big churches. They got to be right. They got all this big following. Got to be right. You mean to tell me a quarter of a million people is following the wrong person? Says verse 10 again. He says, for they shall eat and not have enough, and they shall commit whoredom and shall not increase. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase because they have left off to take heed to Yahweh. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. It's not a surprise that these preachers keep on getting caught up in these scandals. I saw somebody on TikTok or Instagram, one of the two, but the man caught his wife at the hotel with the preacher. He caught her. And they blurred out the preacher's face. Preacher like, oh, man, the preacher is so funny because he caught his wife, the hotel with her, and so he called the preacher wife and let him know. And my man was like, the preacher was like, oh, man, no, man, we was just here praying and Bible studying and counseling and all this stuff at a hotel. In a room by themselves, not no conference room, nothing like that. They was in room XYZ. And he was in the bathroom hiding. Like, y'all preaching this, that, and another. This man putting his clothes on. And she got the tightest dress that she could find for prayer. And so when the man caught him, he said, hey, preacher, you doing this to me? And this, that, and other. And so he called his wife and let the pastor's wife know what was going on. And the pastor begged him, no, please don't do that. Please, why? Y'all just praying. Y'all just Bible studying and stuff like that. She shouldn't have no problem with it. You ain't had no problem being at the hotel alone with that man's wife. What's the problem, preacher? Because you caught up in this verse, the whoredoms and the wine and this and your desires get you. You're in this power. It's this quote unquote position of power. And your heart get lifted up. We're going to read about that a little bit later. He says, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. Verse 12, my people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredom has caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from under their mighty one. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore, the people that do not understand, so because you're doing all this, and they see you doing all this, they think it's cool. You're setting the example. So your soul gets blackened, and then they see it, their soul's getting blackened. And Satan is just having a grand old time. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Second Chronicles chapter 26, we're starting at verse 1. We're going from 1 to... we'll just read the whole chapter. Read the whole chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, starting at verse 1, it says, then all the people of Yehuda took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh, according to all his Amaziah did. And he sought Elohim in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of Elohim. And as long as he sought Yahweh, Elohim made him prosper. Do you see that? As long as he kept his eyes on Yahweh, Elohim made him prosper. Why? Because Zechariah had this written, look, I'm going to go holler at Zechariah, meaning I'm going to go holler at the Most High. And as long as he did that, he was good. He says, and he went forth and warred against the Philistines and break down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabne and the wall of Ashdod and built cities about Ashdod and about the Philistines. And Elohim helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians that dwelt in Gerbal and Mehumans. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread abroad, even to the enterings in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem, at the corner gate, and at the valley gate, and at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert, and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account by the hand of Jehiel, the scribe, and Maaseiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of mighty men of valor were 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000 and 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the hosts, shields and spears and helmets and habergeons, right? That's armor, right? Some a type of armor. And bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones with the big crossbow, right? But they were shooting this stuff, siege, what they call siege engines, right? Whenever you're taking over a town or this, then you were bombarded with catapults, bombarded with rocks and stuff like that to drop the walls. All right, he says, he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men and to be on towers upon the bulwarks, shoot arrows and great stones with all. And his name spread far abroad, but he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. You hear that? Because he's seeing all this stuff, and it's a good thing. It's on, but his heart got lifted up by what he saw. I gave you this description of everything. Everything's going right. Everything's going right. Yeah, and his heart got lifted up. He didn't stay humble, right? He didn't know how to hold on to this emotion. Hold on to that humility. Verse 16, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. But he transgressed against Yahweh, his mighty one, and went into the temple of Yahweh to burn incense upon the altar of incense. He wasn't supposed to do that. See, for him, I can do whatever I want. The world is mine. Like Nino Brown. Bad analogy, but that's what his heart got lifted up. Verse 17, he says, and Azariah, the priest, went in after him, and with him 80 priests of Yahweh that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah, the king, and said unto him, it pertaineth not unto thee. This ain't your job, bro. That's what he said. Not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto Yahweh, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed, neither shall it be for your honor from Yahweh Elohim. Then Uzziah was wroth. He was mad. He got angry that these lowly priests, these priests are correcting him. King, you don't tell me to get out. I'm Uzziah. You see all the mighty men I got? You see the engines that was made and this, that, and another? You see the towns we taking over? Look at it. But his soul got darkened. He says, then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of Yahweh from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to go out, because Yahweh had smitten him. He came to his senses when he saw that. It said even he hasted to get out. Oh, my goodness. I went too far. And it was like, that's right, you went too far. Now get out. Get out of here. Do you see what you're doing? Do you see what you're causing? See what happened when you go back and forth with this priest, with the priest, and they're giving you good advice. See, that's the difference. It's not a problem asking questions. You're supposed to ask questions if you don't get it. So never be ashamed. I don't care. It don't make a difference what the question is, how trivial you think it is. Ask the question if you don't understand it. If there's something bothering you, if there's something, it don't make a difference. Ask that question. Again, if you're trying to get clarity. Because Abba know the spirit that you're asking it in. All right? He said, yea, himself hasted also to get out because Yahweh has smitten him. Verse 21. And Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death and dwelt in a separated house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of Yahweh. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Now, in the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial which belonged to the kings. But they said, he is a leper, and Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. So what we see can also lift our heart up. Okay, remember the story of Ruth and all that she went through. She saw her husband die. She saw her son-in-laws, her sons die, right? She went through all that. She witnessed all that and everything that she saw. And it got to the point. It was so much negativity with her. It got to, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Don't call me pleasant. Naomi means pleasant. But call me bitter. Because that's what I am. I'm not pleasant. I'm bitter. Right? Because of all that she went through. All right? So now I'm going to send out a link. Send out a link, and hopefully, Ahab, I'm gonna send it to you. Can you put it on the line, please? Would you please, DJ Tolda? Those of y'all who didn't know, Harbell is my DJ today. He's on the ones and twos. but this link is from the National Library of Medicine. And again, we're talking about how what we see, how it can darken our spirits, all right? And the reason why we, I asked Harbell to play the song All About Love, because it literally talks about that within the song. It talks about how being from a place and your surroundings and what you see affect you, right? And he talks about if it ain't no beauty, you have to make some beauty, right? In other words, you have to counteract, you have to fight that negativity. And this link, right, is from the National Library of Medicine, right? And it talks about that, the National Center for Biotechnical Information, right? And this particular, they did a experiment. The whole experiment can be found in the book called Emotion, right? And it's a link for that in this link itself. The whole experiment can be found in there, and they edited its final, in its final edited form, is in that book. It was published February of 2008, right? And it's by Heather A. Wildlinger and Derek M. Isakowitz, right? And it's about looking happy. That's the name of the experiment. Looking Happy, the Experimental Manipulation of a Positive Visual Attention Bias. Now, how ABBA led me is about visual manipulation. It's a reason why there's so many condemned houses around black folks. It's a reason why the crime and everything is around black folks. Not saying that white folks don't experience crime, but let's say poor people. Because it is definitely a difference in the amount of crime that the poor people experience versus the upper class, the upper echelon, as they call themselves, the rich folk. We have a lot more going on down here where less is, right? Okay. So it's called Looking Happy, and whenever you send it out, I'm going to start reading now. It says, abstract, right, and it's going to talk about what it's going to talk about, right? It says, individuals with a positive visual attention bias may use their gaze to regulate their emotions while under stress. The current study experimentally trained differential biases in participants' attention toward positive or neutral information. In each training trial, one positive and one neutral word was presented, and then a visual target consistently in the location of the positive or neutral words. Participants were instructed to make a simple perceptual discrimination response to the target. Immediately before and after attentional training, participants were exposed to a stress task consisting of viewing a series of extremely negative images while having their eyes tracked. All right, so we don't lose anybody. Let's say they have these cue cards, right? You have people who are positive, who are happy, so to speak. They are more happy than they are sad, right? So they have a positive outlook on life. They are more positively biased than negative, right? So now they take these images, which are a positive image and a neutral image, right? And then they get the positive bias going, right? And now they stick in negative images in front of them, right? So what they did was they reinforced the positivity, right? Then they start putting negative images on them, and this is what the response, right? It says, immediately before and after attentional events were exposed to a stress task consisting of a series of viewing a series of extremely negative images while having their eyes trained. And again, this is how they're getting their information from the movement of their eyes, right? He says, visual fixation time to negative images assessed with an eye tracker, served as an indicator of using gaze to successfully regulate emotion. Those participants extremely trained to selectively attend to effectively positive information look significantly less at the negative images in the visual stress test following the attentional training, thus demonstrating a learned aversion to negative stimuli. In other words, those people who are more positive-minded, when they saw the negativity, they were, one, able to control their emotions better, right, because they're more positively biased, and they didn't pay attention to the negative that long. Hold on, my phone keeps cutting off, right? It says because they're more attuned, positive, they've been trained to see this positive, right? They didn't concentrate on the negative. They got back to the positive, going back to what Yahushua said. If that light in you is good, then your being is good, right? But then again, he says the opposite is also true, too. He says participant strength toward neutral information did not show this biased gaze pattern, right? So they were even off. Now you get to the negative. Now listen to what it says about this. Negative emotions, such as anxiety and depression, produce attentional biases towards negative, and depression is on the rise. It's not a surprise that everybody in this world is anxious all of a sudden. Everybody's suffering from anxiety now. Everybody's suffering from depression now. Could it be that you didn't watch it your whole life and now it's taking effect on you? It's all you've been seeing your whole life. See, and again, these are case studies. The same way Hasatan, the same way Abba studies, the same way Hasatan studies. He says, negative emotions such as anxiety and depression produce attentional biases towards negative emotions. In other words, you're in that negative state, you don't want to see nothing positive. Just like when you in that positive state, you don't want to deal with the negative. It says negative information, and they give all these people here is they are other case studies to support what they're saying. The BP Bradley, the Morgan Lee, all that. They're other case studies, right? He says, then biases towards negative information. It says, and also, and now individuals' attentional focus. So because you are depressed, you can't focus the way you're supposed to because your focus on that depression, it narrows it. That's all you're doing is thinking about that depression or that anxiety or whatever it is, whatever you're going through. You are not allowed to see the beauty that's there because of what's going on with you. All you can see is the depression, and your focus is narrow. Individuals with high levels of anxiety or depression have been found to exhibit attentional biases that favor emotionally negative information in studies using eye tracking, right? So when you're going through that, you don't want to see nothing positive. And it's so true. I remember when I was, me and my ex-wife, we was going through this towards the end. I would hate seeing couples happy. I would hate it. I would hate to see them walking hands, smiling, laughing at each other. I was always, why can't I be like that? Why relationship failing? Why can't we be like that? You know, why is it failing? Why? I ain't want to see them they walking and smiling, laughing, and playful and this, that. Now, my wife don't play with me like that. We don't talk like that. She can't stand me. See, but I was so focused on that. That's all I want. And I didn't want to see anything beautiful in it. Right? So, it says, McLeod, Rutherford, Campbell, Edgeworthy, and Holker have demonstrated, that's another, from 2002, another case study, had demonstrated a causal link between selective attention, negative stimuli, and increased emotional vulnerability. Let me read that again. It says there is a causal link between selective attention to negative stimuli and increased emotional vulnerability to subsequent negative stimuli. So because you're going through this, you're going to add more on top of that and become even more depressed. You're going to get even more down in the dumps. Because when you're going through, think about it. When you're going through a hard time, you don't want to see no happy picture, no happy movies or anything like that. You want to see depressing movies. You don't want to hear no music that's going to uplift your spirit. You want to hear depressing music. You're more vulnerable to that. You're more vulnerable to it. Says, individuals were asked to, and here's the thing, the same thing that they did, they gave them a stress test, right? Now, the people that were positively aligned, let's say positively aligned, they didn't have all that, how y'all doing? They didn't have all those issues, right? But listen to this. It says, individuals were asked to attempt to solve unsolvable anagram puzzles under time conditions with failure feedback while being videotaped. So they put them in they took them from the pot to the fire, right? You got a puzzle that you can't possibly solve. You got time, which is another type of pressure. You got feedback coming back. That's another type of pressure. And you're being videotaped. Another type of pressure. So they stuck them in the pressure cooker, right, to see how they respond. It says, next, participants were presented with hundreds of consecutive word pairs consisting of one negative word and one neutral word. This actor is trained to allocate their attention towards a certain active word category as a visual target consistently appeared as a visual target consistently appeared behind either the neutral or negative word for the majority of the trials. Finally, participants completed another group of unsolvable puzzles under the same conditions as the first set to determine whether their levels of emotional vulnerability had changed as an effect of the attention training. So after they sent them through the pressure cooker, they took them and got them back on that either neutral thinking or negative thinking, and then gave them the puzzles again, right, to see if they were more vulnerable on top of that. It said emotional vulnerability was assessed as an elevation in negative mood state. They got more depressed. higher mean anxiety and depression scores in response to the stress test. So when you're going through it, you add the stress, and what happens? You continue to go through it. You get even more depressed. See the light. It's darkening. It says the people's is in darkness. He said the world is in darkness, the people's gross darkness. Because they've been at it for so long. And look at the state of the world. Everything that they've been seeing in this world, negativity. We're being bombarded by it. And no one is trying to make any beauty in this world. Right? So it says, individuals in the trained negative condition demonstrated greater emotional vulnerability at post-test than they did those in the trained neutral condition. So when you start with the negativity, you continue with the negativity. It just keeps piling on. But at the same time, if you can start with the positivity, you're going to pile on positivity. So like Yahushua said, if that light, your eyes are certain and you're not going to associate with the negative. Your soul is not going to darken. All you are searching for is the negative. All you can see is the negative. Then your soul is going to darken. And he said, how great is that darkness? Why didn't he say, how great is that light? With that darkness, we're going to get to the extremes. He knows that. Israel saw all kinds of darkness on their ways. They learned how to worship other gods. They stuck their sons through the fire, their sons and their daughters through the fires, sacrificing their kids. They worshiped the sun and the moon. They did everything unconceivable or inconceivable. Everything that I would say don't do, they did. And they got good at it. Over the years, they got better and better at it. Still was trying to hold on to Yahweh. Again, family, look for the good things in your life. When the bad arises, look for the good in it. Positive. Keep that positive frame of mind. Fight for it. It's yours. Don't let your circumstances and everything that you see, just because you're being bombarded, if there ain't no beauty, make some beauty. Right on, as the man said. We have to learn to do these things. All right? Because we are Israel. And that's the last thing that we're going to talk about next week. We are Israel. That name has not changed. The standard for Israel has not changed. We are Israel. And that's not to be taken lightly. All right? So, family, I'm going to end right here. If you want, this, like I said, this is another one of those interesting case studies. It talks about the next section is a real nice one. is talking about the effects of the positive emotion, right? And intentional broadening. Like the same way the negative emotion narrows your focus, this positive emotion broadens it. It's a real nice read, y'all. If y'all want, you know, again, if you want to read the whole revised thing, because this is the actual case study, right? The actual, the whole revised thing, everything, is if you go back up to the top, it says you see the word emotion. You click on it, and the manuscript is, you can search for it, and all that. But they give you who it says available in PMC. You click on it, and you can search for it. And, you know, it's right here. You know, they got the text. It's in the National Library. So what they'll do is they'll just direct you to another link. Yeah, but if you get a chance, you know, read it. You know, because, again, take the meat from the bone. Take what is pertinent to you. You know, take the meat from the bone and separate the wheat from the chaff. All right? So we got one last scripture. Oops. Where is it? Oh, here it is. All right, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 5. Isaiah chapter 60. Verses 1 through 5. It says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But Yahweh shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar. Daughter shall be nursed at your side. When you shall see and flow together, and your heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto you." So again, y'all, when that darkness is there, let Yahweh's light rise in you. Allow him to illuminate you. Don't let that darkened soul, those dark spirits, hold you down. Be covered in that cooler, that gross darkness, as I would say. All right, family? Fight them, y'all. You know, throw them punches. Get it in. All right? So this is your brother, Daywell. And signing off. I'm going to read the. If you have any questions, y'all, put them on the line. Again, doesn't matter what it is, you know, how trivial you might think it is or whatever. Put it on the line, y'all. Ask those questions. Get the clarification. Get the edification that we all need. Okay. All right. So you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, but you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abiyah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Ask Abiyah that you spirit on our Moray, our brother Mariel, as he brings forth your word. Abba, we thank you for this Shabbat once again, Abba. We thank you for bringing forth your word, Abba, for the word that our brother Yariel brought forth last night. We ask, Abba, that you continue to lead us and guide us and show us your ways, show us your truth. Abba, we ask that you continue to unify us, bring us together. We ask, Abba, that you continue to heal us mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Most of all, Abba, we ask that when it's time to call upon you in our distress, and we don't forget to cry out to you, Abba. Abba, we ask that you continue to have mercy upon us. You continue to show us your loving kindness, Abba. Show us how great you are, Abba. Continue to be our example. Continue to grow us, lead us and guide us. Turn us into the men and women that you so desire. We just thank you, and we ask that you bow, brothers and sisters that are out of town, bring them home safely, you know, keep the roadways clear for them. Don't let any, as my brothers say, hurt, harm, or danger come to them. Or us out here as we're out in your order, Abba, out in your nature and what you allow. No. We just ask that you continue to be with us and grow us, Abba. Continue to do things that are pleasing within your eyesight and acceptable in your will. Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. Joy of Shabbat.